You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
I've said before, and I'm embarrassed by it, but I just wasn't a good dad. And by the grace of God, my sons remember a lot of the good stuff and don't remember a lot of the bad stuff. But, you know, it wasn't a good journey.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
All right, well, welcome to this week's Momentum. Once again, all around Australia, it is Tim and Des joining you. And hey, wherever you might be right now, really, really appreciate you tuning in. MomentumAustralia.org is our website, as always. You know, we started a couple of years ago, Des and I, with a heart to reach out to blokes all around Australia. And hopefully over the last few years, you've gleaned something from our wafflings and our guests over the last couple of years. But Des, I mean, that's the heart behind Momentum, right? It's just to help guys in their journey of life.
Absolutely. And we do that by being, you know, raw and honest and real and, you know, be the things that often you won't see in the church setting. You know, we just deal with it. And, you know, if it's good or bad or it's ugly, that's the way it is. And that's the way we will always be. Just on saying that, let me just mention our care line, Momentum Care Line, 1-800-000 Men. That's 1-800-000-636, brought to us by Caroline Connections, which is a ministry in its own right. And it's carolineconnections.com.au is their website. But anyway, you can reach out and get help 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. That's Momentum Caroline, 1-800-000-636.
Yeah, awesome. And talking of being raw, if you need a raw, honest conversation with someone, maybe that's not in your world right now, i.e. maybe your friends, your family, your church family, whatever, you're just like, yeah, I'm not sure that I feel comfortable talking with them, you can have a confidential chat with the guys on the care line. That number again, 1-800-000-636. And you know, when Des and I first started Momentum, we kind of said, we can't talk about this stuff or encourage others to talk about this stuff unless we're talking about this stuff ourselves. So We're gonna model that for you in this week's show, because we are coming up to Mother's Day. It's rapidly approaching. Actually, we've prepared ourselves this year a little better than in previous years, and we've got a great special Mother's Day guest coming up for you in the show real soon, and we're very excited to talk to her. But this week we thought, hey, let's then just speak into dads' lives for a tick before we jump into Mother's Day. And Des and I are going to be sharing a bit this week from our own experience as dads, because we're both now granddads as well. And, you know, we've learned a few things along the way.
Indeed.
Some of it from good things we've done and some of it from things we've done poorly or areas where we've missed it with our kids and grandkids. And so we thought we'd just lift the lid off some of that, be honest, and also look at some other things that we found along the way that perhaps could help you in your fathering journey. So, Des, are you ready, my friend, to lift the lid off.
Absolutely. Let's bring it on. Well, let me ask you first. I mean, and we want to talk about our own parents and what we learned from our parents. So talking about your dad, what did you feel that he did well? What were the good points that you saw from your dad?
My dad was a really hard worker and he was a great provider. So straight up, so my dad was born in 1946. He was the post-war generation. He's now 76, but he had a really good work ethic, a strong work ethic. And my dad was always out a lot of hours a day working. He started off in, like he was a draftsman. He was drawing early days, but from as long as I was a kid, he was in insurance and then had his own financial management company and those sorts of things.
Oh, wow.
So, and he would literally drive the length and breadth of the UK most days, seeing clients and doing things. And we didn't see a lot of him Monday to Friday, to be honest. So again, the good thing was that he was a hard worker and he had a really strong work ethic and provided for his family well. The downside of that, of course, that he wasn't around much through the week. And then on a weekend, he was playing catch up like we all do, with jobs around the house and doing stuff around the house, Saturday, Sunday.
And he was probably so exhausted from the week that he just didn't have any energy left to give.
You know, and then repeat Monday to Friday. So that was my dad, yeah. What about yours? Because I know your dad actually wasn't he a preacher or he was in the church?
Yeah, he was a preacher, yeah. And he was a great man. He was born in 1928, so he, you know, went through the war and and all that. And actually, his father came back from the war and was an alcoholic because of what happened to him during the war. And so he abhorred some of the things. He wasn't very supportive of my grandfather. He didn't respect my grandfather, which was a shame. But in those days, he didn't understand trauma. They didn't understand what my grandfather went through. For example, my grandfather was in the trenches during the First World War with his brother, who was underage, and they went over the trenches, and his brother was shot beside him.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had to keep going. So those traumas in their lives affected him greatly. And when I look at my dad, who I loved to bits, he was my hero growing up, but the way I would define him is he was loving but not affectionate. And what I mean by that is I absolutely believed that he loved me. I had no doubt at all that, you know, I was his eldest son. He loved me to bits, but he was never affectionate. You know what I mean? He wouldn't go up and give me a hug or kiss me in the cheek, or he wouldn't do that. And like your dad, he was busy. He was so busy with work. He had shoe shops, and he was away Monday through. He didn't get back to Saturday. And Sunday was really only his rest day, and that was church and church and church. So, for example, like one example from my childhood, and that I've always remembered, is on a Saturday night, my dad would come home maybe 6:30, and I'd be out in the back garden kicking a ball. And every Saturday, I'd say to my dad, "Dad," as he walked through from the garage to the house, I said, "Dad, come kick a ball with me." And he never once did. He just was so tired, you know, and that stuck with me. And I think that we all have those sort of experiences where, you know, we get disappointed or we get hurt or whatever, and they stick with us and they impact us later on in life.
Yeah, for sure. If you could describe, or you would describe, your relationship with your dad, particularly then, you know, early days, but then particularly as a teenager, because that can be an interesting time, you know, particularly as sons, I think. Daughters, it's a little different, but with sons and dads, there can always be like this competitive kind of thing that jumps in between dad and son. How was your relationship there?
Well, I just, you know, everything about my dad was about the church.
Right.
It was about his faith. It was about, you know, going to church and stuff. And I respected that. I mean, he read his Bible every day and studied it and so forth. And I now respect that much more than ever. But I just miss spending time with him. You know, and as a teenager where I, you know, I was struggling with lots of stuff, including faith stuff, in my childhood and in my youth, he wasn't there. I had nobody, even though I had him. He wasn't there, and you know, and I unfortunately followed that example. I guess we'll get to that.
Well, let's launch on from that, because I mean, you've mentioned in the show before that, you know, you were pretty absent as a dad to your kids, and part of that was that you were, similar to your father, busy doing, creating a career and a, you know, providing for your family. But in that, as often can happen with men, we get so lost in that world that sometimes we not necessarily forget about our family, but our priority becomes work and providing, and you know, providing the life instead of doing the life, I suppose, with our family.
And it's true. And you know, it comes down to simple things like our identity. Now, my identity is I am a dad, and I'm a strong dad. I'm a loving dad. I'm a caring dad. That's fantastic, because that reflect in your personality and it'll reflect in your actions and so forth. I didn't have that identity. My identity was I ran IT for major corporations. And so, you know, that was my identity. And so, you know, that's what I focused on. And so, you know, traveled the weekends and all sorts of stuff. What about you, man? How did it work for you?
Well, it's interesting because similar. I mean, my dad was around, but not necessarily present, if I can say that, right? So he was there, but similar. Not a lot of physical affection or verbal affection. I grew up in a non-Christian home, so certainly spiritually there was nothing. But I mean, I was in a church choir from a young age, and you know, my parents would come and support me occasionally if I was doing a solo, or you know, there was Christmas or Easter, or, you know, those sorts of things. But my dad was again. It's funny because I know that one of his love languages is gift giving, and so. Because he earned a reasonable wage, you know, my brother and I would always get lots of presents for my birthday and Christmas. And now I realize that was my dad expressing his love that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, through my teenagers, I picked up the guitar. I wanted to learn drums and those sorts of things. And I got into heavy metal music and, you know, dropped off all sorts of places for watching bands and gigs and things. And, you know, my dad was always good in making time to do those sorts of things. That was his way of showing love. But at the same time, there was, you know, again, not a lot of physical affection, verbal affection. You know, I don't ever remember my dad telling me that he loved me until much later in life. And, you know, even a physical hug probably didn't happen until I was well into my late 20s.
Wow.
So, you know, from that side of things, there wasn't much of that. But again, what my dad did do well was he was provided. And I always felt, I suppose, supported in the things that I wanted to do, even though he may not necessarily agree with it.
Yeah.
You know, he was always quite good at trying to show some support to some degree. In the way that he could, yeah.
One of the amazing things that I remember in my childhood, and I guess I would encourage all men to do this, what I'm just about to tell you, and it's not, there's no rocket science behind this, but it's spending time as a family together. Mm. So our meal times that we had together, which was basically most evenings and Sunday morning, was done as a family around the table, and we talked. There was no TV, there was no background music, there was nothing. We just talked as a family. And those times are so, so important. And today's world is different. I mean, you have kids sitting in front of the TV having their meal, you know, they don't have an adult type conversation. And so I would encourage any dad who's got the opportunity to do that with their kids, you have no idea the value that is to the kids.
Well, there's stats that prove, and I don't have them in front of me right now, but there are stats that prove that if you have dinner as a family, even if it's like two or three times a week or something, the effect that that has on your children, and therefore the less likelihood of them actually going off the rails in their teenagers. Yes. This is the strange thing. We just think it's dinner around a table, but there's something about that security and safety in kids where they come together as a family that actually has such a huge effect in the choices that they make as a teenager later in life that actually lowers the percentage of them going off the rails in those key and crucial teenage years.
Yeah, and having real conversations around the table, like have fun. I mean, my family was so big on banter. We would banter everybody at every time and every opportunity. And it was in a loving way.
Yes.
And so, you know, I've talked to people recently about that, and they say, well, how do you put up? Is that abuse, or is that, you know, how do you reconcile that? It's just not. But there's an understanding that when you're teasing somebody, it's done in love and it's done just for fun, just for fun, nothing else, just for fun.
Yeah.
And so I think we've lost the idea in some ways of fun. We've lost the idea of doing things just because it's good fun. And I think families would, you know, learn so much and gain so much if they took the time to do that. I think it's a really good thing to do.
I think that's really important, Des, and I think for a lot of dads listening too, you know, we are the provider. We are also the one that can bring discipline at times if necessary.
Mm, yeah.
But if that's all our kids see of us, that's a real shame. I think it is important that our kids see us bring the softer side of ourselves too. That is the fun.
Yeah.
That is the ability to show emotions and perhaps apologize to our kids, even at a young age, if necessary, to bring that side of ourselves to our kids, I think is really important.
And spend time doing the sporting type things too. You know, go to the cricket. You may not like cricket. I didn't mind cricket, but you know, going to AFL or going to, you know, rugby league or whatever the kids want to do, just go with them.
Mm.
You know, I took my kids whenever they were growing up kids, and I was living in New Zealand, and I took my boys to the Waikato Stadium in Hamilton to watch the Chiefs play, and it was the best time for them and the best time for me. We had a ball, and so yeah. I mean, just take every opportunity to be around your kids and sowing into their lives.
Yeah. One thing off the back of that as well is, and I think you said that, Des, in a different way, but finding the common ground with your kids. And again, it may not necessarily be things that you're interested in. And I've learned this with my kids, but also I can see how my dad did that with me too. Wasn't necessarily stuff that he was particularly interested in, but he would show an interest because it was important to me. And I think as fathers, that's a real big key, is to go, what's important in your kids' lives? You know, for my daughter, over the years of her teenage, there's a K-pop band, a Korean boy band called BTS. Now, I'm not into K-pop and this is not my thing, but I know so much about this because I wanted to, it was an interest to her, and it was one thing, we both musical. So I'm like, hey, it's not really my thing, but I am musical, so I can find a common ground in this so that when we talk and when she talks about this, I've got some interest and some knowledge about what she's talking about, so I can show an interest and engage in a conversation.
The closest I came to that was supporters of Liverpool. So I had three boys. And so the three boys are all mad Liverpool fans, as am I. So
there you go.
If there's anybody listening who's a Manchester United fan, you know, just keep listening.
I think here endeth our relationship, Des, but that's a different story. Look, we are talking fatherhood this week on Momentum. We're going to take a short break and come back in the second part of the show. And Des and I will continue just to quickly talk about some things we've done well, some things that we could perhaps do differently or done differently as dads. And you can learn from our mistakes. But also we've got some qualities that we're going to look at that the, in inverted commas, experts say. These are things that make up good dads, whether you're not a Christian, a Christian, but some generic things that we can look at to improve our fathering to our kids. Such an important role that we've got as dads. As we take a short break, I'll point you to the website, MomentumAustralia.org. Have a quick look around the website as we take a short break, and we're going to be back real soon with this week's Momentum.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Well, welcome back to this week's Momentum. Tim and Des with you. We're talking fatherhood on this week's show before we launch into Mother's Day next weekend. And we've got a wonderful, wonderful woman that we've got lined up for a Mother's Day special next weekend. And she's going to bring some tough love, some truth around some certain things for Mother's Day. We're very much looking forward to speaking to her. But before we do that, we are looking at fathers and fathering this week, and it's just Des and I, we're talking about this, and we thought, hey, we'd share some of our experiences. We've learned some stuff over the years, Des. Some of it's been good, some of it's we've had to learn from and apologize for. And
yeah, it's very true. It's true. I can't speak for you, but you know, man, I was so selfish. I really was. I wasn't, I've said before, and I'm embarrassed by it, but I just wasn't a good dad. And by the grace of God, my sons remember a lot of the good stuff and don't remember a lot of the bad stuff, but you know, it wasn't a good journey.
So I mean, let's piggyback off that, because I know that you were absent for a lot of your kids' lives because you were busy working and going all over the place and having your career and all those sorts of things. Obviously you changed that, but when you look at all of that, despite that, what do you think you did well as a dad when your kids were younger?
Wow, that's a really good question. I'd have to reflect long and hard before I answer that question. Like, you know, whenever I was there, I was a present dad. So, I'll say that when I was there, I got involved and I did stuff and played with them, kicked football, played cricket, all the things that you would do, take them out for barbecues and all that sort of stuff. You know, we did that, me and also the family. And also, you know, bought a boat. And so the boys and I, we go out in the boat and spend the whole day just, you know, pretending to fish and pretending to catch fish and
pretending to
and
fish.
It was, and they were great. They were great times. And so, you know, those things were really good. What about you? How did you go?
It's interesting because, you know, now we mentioned that, and I hadn't actually thought about this too much, but, and it's funny how the way that you were parented can influence your parenting, whether that's good or bad, right? And so with both of my parents being particularly English, the physical touch and the verbal stuff was very minimal from my parents. Mm. And so I remember when I became a parent, particularly with my daughter, with a daughter-dad relationship, I was like, my daughter is never going to not know that she's loved, and she's never not going to know what it's like to be hugged from dad. And so I was very demonstrative with my kids physically, and I was very verbal with my kids, you know, from a affirmation of affirming who they are, but also how much I love them a lot. So I think that, you know, it was like, my kids will never go to their grave going, you know, on the contrary, I was probably quite smothering as a dad. And my daughter let me know about that a few times too, in a loving, joking way, you know, about me being in her personal bubble, you know, that sort of thing. And
isn't that interesting that she picked up the fact that you were overindulgent, but that's not the right word, but over enthusiastic to compensate for what you had missed out on. That's a really good, it's a good message on both negative and positive perspectives.
Yeah. But I also, I mean, look, I wasn't away like you were in your career, but I worked in radio for 20 years when the kids were young. And, you know, with that came all sorts of shifts at different times of day and night. I would make a point of, depending on what time I got in, obviously if it was super late, like 10, 11 o'clock at night, I would just kind of stick my head in, kiss them on the cheek, and they'd kind of stir and go back to sleep. But if it was not too long after bedtime, I would always have a routine of going in and spending some time just chatting, you know, talking about the day, asking them about their day, praying, and then, you know, and leaving them that. So there was always on the night, there was at least a touch point with dad, regardless of how late I got in. And then on the morning, you know, my shifts allowed me to do the school run to get them ready on the morning, do that sort of thing. So there was always the morning school run, the time in the car, you know, the praying in the car on the way to school, those sorts of things. So those sorts of things I feel like I was fairly present for. Things, you know, I think, to be honest, when the rubber hits the road at times, and I noticed this even, I don't know if it's a male, female thing, but I can sometimes not want to engage emotionally with my kids. And particularly with, you know, my wife or my daughter, because, you know, things can be quite emotional at times. And sometimes I just don't have the capacity for that, I've noticed. But I'm learning, you know, that's one thing I've learned as I've gotten older. And now, obviously, my daughter's in her early 20s. And it's learning to go, I don't really feel like having this conversation, but because it's emotional and it's tiring and it's draining, but I'm going to sit in this space because I know it's good for the connection.
That's good.
So,
oh man, that's
I think
great.
That as a, you know, as a dad has been a key thing, just sitting in spaces that you may not want to sit in, and just being present for your kids. Because let's be honest, it's great when it's fun and it's easy, that's an easy space to sit in. The key challenge is as a dad is when the rubber hits the road, do you shut off emotionally? Do you check out emotionally? And you're there, but you're not really there. And, you know, and I did that early days and I've learned to go, no, even in those moments, being present is fine, but I need to be present emotionally, actually be engaged in the conversation rather than just being there.
Yeah. So you and I had the same problem in that, you know, both our parents were overseas. We're growing up kids. And so the question then is, who was a role model for you as a dad? And why were they a role model? Who was the person you looked to?
Honestly, there's not many people that I could list as a named name. There'd be people in my world over the years that I, you know, in church circles particularly, that I would look at and kind of glean from. I never really, I suppose, got them to take me under their wing, but I would kind of look at the way that they would be with their kids at church, or if we went around to the house and watched the way that they were with kids, and just kind of observe a lot. I think that was a lot for me was role modeling, because obviously, you know, when I came to Australia, my dad was back in the UK. As far as people who I've read books from and had influence, I mean, John Eldridge is a classic, you know, Wild at Heart, those sorts of things. I mean, you know, he's got a lot in that space. I've learned a lot from him. People like Mark Batterson, who talks about that sort of stuff a fair bit. I mean, we're about to speak to, you know, later in the year, Darren from Fathering Adventures, and the way that his story has worked out with his kids and what he does. I mean, there wasn't particularly anybody in my life per se. It's more about just watching other people at times and trying to glean from that, and then getting a couple of books here and there to go, hey, you know, how can I improve this? Brett Ryan from Focus on the Family has, you know, I've gleaned from him over the years. We've talked to Matt Prater, you know, from History Makers. He shared a fair bit about his journey. And yeah, I think that's the wisdom of dads is realizing that, hey, I can be a reasonable father, but to be the best, I've got to learn from others. And there will be particularly older guys, right, who've gone there, been there, done it, and made the mistakes that if I'm smart enough, I'll go to them and ask them what the mistakes were so that I don't make them. And, you know, this is perhaps another conversation for another time, but I think we as a church, generically, Des, this is where we could be lacking because, you know, we've got, dare we say, father figures, older generations in the church, but are we utilizing them for the current generations? Are we sitting with them and going, hey, can you talk to our young guys, you know? Or can I talk to you? Can I have a coffee with you and ask you? You know, you seem like you've been a good dad. You've got a good relationship with your kids.
Yeah.
Tell me what you've done right. Tell me some things that I could avoid. I think there's just wisdom in that.
Yeah, I think that's so true. You know, and I had a similar experience in that I came to Australia. My kids were all small and I really didn't have anybody that I could use as a role model. I had a really dear friend of mine and, you know, he was in the same stage of life. The kids were maybe a year or two older, but, you know, he did life the same way I did it. He was in the IT industry as well. Right. And so I didn't have anyone there who could, I mean, I would love to have had my dad sitting on my shoulder saying, hey, you know, think about this or have you thought about that? That didn't happen. And so what my advice to guys is if you're doing parenting as a father and you don't have a dad who can help you and support you and guide you, find somebody. And we talk about this in Momentum all the time, about finding someone to be a friend, to be a support, to be a mentor, to keep you accountable. That same person could do the same thing with you being a father. You know, be alongside you, watch what you do, just give you advice. Don't do it that way. Think about doing it this way. You know, and so, it's a real key. A real key issue for fathers.
Can I also say, I think if you go to an older guy in, say, if it's your church group, or just in your world that you've looked at and go, hey, I admire this guy. He seems, you know, peaceful. He looks like he's got some wisdom, still got a good relationship with his wife and kids. I think if you went, hey, can we have a coffee? I think they'd actually feel really honored by that. And they'd be more than happy to share some stuff with you.
Yeah, and it's an easy conversation to have. And it's not confronting. It's just saying, hey, you know, I want to learn a few lessons from you. And we're just about to close the show, and we've had some amazing conversation. But tell me, to close off, what are the qualities you see in being a good dad? If you do two or three, I'll do two or three. And maybe those will help guys to focus on how to be a better
dad. Well, I think the first is dependability, being there through thick and thin, you know, being present. Yeah. Not just present and correct, like as in I've turned up, I've ticked a box, but being present, I think that's a key one. We've talked about involvement, Des, you know, being interested in our kids' lives. And this is where understanding your kids' love languages and personalities is really important, because we're all, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? We can have, if you've got two or three different kids, you know, they each have different personalities and they each receive and give love slightly differently. So understanding what quality time is for each of your kids. For one of them, it might be kicking a soccer ball. For the other, it might be sitting down playing Lego. For the other, it might be reading a book or watching a movie. Like, it's finding those things, the common ground with your kids.
Yes, exactly.
And I think we've talked about this as well. The compassion piece, empathy, showing your emotions as a father. You know, in this day and age, it's no longer taboo to be a father who is emotionally present. I think that's really, really important for your kids to see that side of you.
No, totally. And I'd add a couple more. Certainly being expressive is along the lines of what you've just said. You know, being prepared to talk and being prepared to be emotional and being prepared to be expressive. Give your kids a hug. You know, give them a clip around the ear. You didn't hear me say that. Yeah, but, you know, but, and you know, you do, and one thing about discipline, and you know this as well as I do, is if you're doing it because you're angry, then that's the wrong motive. If you're doing it to help your kids, that's a different situation. So, but almost all the thing that I have learned, and it's been a bitter pill to swallow for me, is honesty. Be prepared to be honest about your role as a dad and who you are and what you do. Because your kids will ultimately respect you so much more if you're totally honest with what they do. And the, another thing I would add, apart from all the spiritual side of it, and I'm sure you'll probably cover it, but it's be playful. You know, just have fun. You know, have, do have banter. Do have jokes for your kids. Do roll around the floor with them and do whatever you need to do. Just be playful.
Yeah. A couple of more serious things, Des, and maybe we'll end on here. The valuing of the mum. You know, the way that you talk to mum and the way that you are with mum in the house says a lot to your, models a lot to your kids. About how they would then treat a mother or a wife growing up, and particularly for young men, the way that you talk to your wife is going to model the way that they will invariably interact with their girlfriends and potential wives in the future.
Yeah, and daughters. So how you respect daughters and treat them, you know, as princesses in the nicest possible way.
And from a Christian perspective, you know, again, it doesn't necessarily always have to be, you know, we're going to pray and take communion every morning before school, but it can be a balance of, like we did in the car. Like, we didn't have time. Like, it was five kids in my first marriage. So it was like, let's just get everybody in the car and then we've got 15 minutes on the way to school. So then we can have some prayer time in the car. Or it's just finding those moments where, you know, you can lead your kids in prayer. For me, it was again at night, not necessarily around the dinner table because I wasn't always there depending on the shifts that I worked, but finding moments throughout the week where we are having conversations around certain things in the Bible or certain things at church or certain things that happened at school even, and how can we bring a Christian perspective or reaction or response to that? Maybe we could pray for a friend. You know, just those opportunities to let your kids know that church isn't just a Sunday deal for you, and God isn't just someone that we talk to on a Sunday or sing to on a Sunday. You know, they see that side of you in the house as well, that you're very natural with that. And, invariably that's going to lead your kids, whether it's through curiosity or something else, to then want to pursue that as well, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And things, even simple things like giving thanks for food and praying for each other around the table, if they become learned behavior, you know, it's something they have always done, they'll continue to do that. That's so key that God is part of their life in everything they do. That's really cool. Really
and look, important. If you want to throw in a scripture reference for that, the Bible clearly says, you know, train the way that the kids will go, and when they grow up, they won't depart from it. And I have, you know, honestly seen that with my kids. They've had a few years where they've, you know, looked like they were doing their own thing. But I'll tell you what's been planted in their young years is definitely coming back in their 20s now. And they're having their own relationship with the Lord, which as a parent, of course, is awesome. And it gladdens our heart because that's ultimately what we want. The kids aren't just coming to church because mom and dad are doing it. It's what we do on a Sunday. They're choosing their own relationship with God. And that's as a direct result of what's been sown when they were younger. So I think, you know, that's really as a good father, it's looking for those little opportunities Monday to Saturday, you know, to express our faith, to talk about those things, to pray, to show them. And also showing that mum and dad pray together too, I think is really huge. Because that shows a commonality there that we're on the same page here. It's not just mum is doing all the praying and she's the spiritual one, but dad's right there and leading the home. There's a lot more we could talk about, and maybe we'll do another show later in the year, but that's been a quick spectrum of fatherhood from Des and I. And, you know, Des, thank you for being honest and open about your journey as always. And for myself, of course, I know some of that, but I appreciate you sharing that with the guys. And again, we're going into Mother's Day next week, so we've got a great Mother's Day show lined up for you. It's going to be raw, honest, and there's going to be some tough truths come through from this lady that we're going to interview next week, and we'll keep it a secret until then. But we would love you to join us for our Mother's Day special next week. In the meantime, I'm going to point you to our website once again, MomentumAustralia.org. If you want to get in touch, by all means, do that. Reach out to us. There's a whole bunch of resources on there to help you on your journey, partly as a dad, but partly as just a human being to do life that little bit better. And if you'd like to financially support us at Momentum, that would be really awesome. We do run on a shoestring. Thankfully, we don't have a lot of overheads, but you know, your support will help us continue to reach men all around Australia via this ministry and through the radio stations that you hear this show on. So MomentumAustralia.org. Until next week, Des, you take care, my friend. God bless.
You too, man.
And we'll catch you guys next week right here on Momentum. Take care.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.